Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me and renew in me the right spirit. Lead to that secret, sacred place with you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through.
October 16th, 2021. We are Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Again, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey. I'm the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. We have a spirit-filled show on this morning. We want to give praise and thanks and glory to the Lord for our co-host who has hosted this show for the last 2 weeks, and we certainly thank God for her, and she has done a phenomenal job helping this and working with this ministry. And certainly you have to have people that work with you and able to see the vision that the Lord has given you and support that vision. And certainly we are trying to move the kingdom forward, so I want to thank God for her. So, you know, as always, we start with our announcements. We, Amazing Grace Ministries, we are ministering to the hurt and the wounded every, and I want to say every fourth Sunday at 2:30 p.m. at Christ Deliverance Center, located on 82nd 26 South Muskegon. And this, not this Sunday, but the next Sunday after this Sunday, because tomorrow is third Sunday. Well, Next Sunday will certainly be the fourth Sunday, and I will be talking more about what we will be ministering on next week, because I will also be hosting Blog Talk on next week as well. But come out, certainly if you're wounded, if you dealing with hurts, traumas, issues, mental illnesses, and certainly we are living in a time where we are addressing our mental illness and looking at it and coping with all those hurts and wounds that we have. And certainly we are still teaching Old Testament Bible study. If you're interested, you can give me a call at 309-750-7584. So if this ministry, and moving on, please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries. You can send any donation to P.O. Box 438-411, Chicago, Illinois. So we thank you if you choose. If the Lord has laid it upon your heart to send us something, make sure it's the checks are written out to Amazing Grace Ministries or AGMI. Please not Dr. Carey, but Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. Certainly, if you choose to do that, we thank you. What we do, we put back into the ministry. Certainly, we're coming on up on some celebrations, and truly your donations will help propel this ministry to reach the lost at any cost, and certainly that is our mission. So to those that are listening out in radio land, I decree a blessing on your life. I decree healing in the name of Jesus. And certainly if this ministry has been a blessing to you, please give me a text or email Amazing Grace Ministries at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. Link in it. And amazing is A-M-A-Z-E-M. So praise the Lord. We have a word on this morning. Certainly it's cold out here, and let me back up. If you want to review this message in the future or listen to any messages that we have spoken or did, you can go to the link http://tobtr.com/s/12014895, and that will hit this lesson directly. All right, now I've done all the announcements. Let's get to it. So it's cold. It's getting colder. Certainly the leaves are very pretty right now. It's amazing how God has made creation and how the leaves and the trees know that they are to turn a certain color at a certain time. And certainly on last week it was extremely hot. The weekend, previously weekend we were in, it was in the 80s, if I'm not mistaken. But now we see that this week has been cold and wet. And we can see the changing of the seasons. We can see the trees begin to turn shades of orange and red, which are so beautiful. And we see now that the bugs are trying to go into our homes, the exterminators coming out to winterize. And we talked about winterization of our homes on last week, and certainly plugging up the holes and spraying around your house and trying to make sure that those critters that are coming out from the cold don't find a nesting place in your home. And certainly I was looking at the internet on this week, and I saw an article about 90 snakes that were sitting up under a home, not here in Chicago, thank the Lord, praise God, hallelujah, but they were habitating. There were so many adults, and I think it was 52 babies, because they came there to hibernate. So that was a place that they came in order to prepare themselves again, harvest. So we have a word that will captivate your mind, that's going to illuminate your heart, that's going to lift you up and take you to the next level. And certainly, we've been getting ready for the harvest, and we're going to talk more because we're coming, and I think we're about 2 weeks from Halloween, and certainly Satan gets busy this time. You see the decorations. We see the people that get all the pumpkins and the ghouls and the ghosts and the skeletons, and certainly preparing for Halloween and all the movies on television with all this gore. But we are in a time now that we have got to put the armor upon us and fight and get ready for the harvest. So we have been talking about on this month, reaping the harvest. And this third Saturday in October, I've got one for you. Have I planted my seeds? Let's read. We're going to Luke chapter 8, verses 9 through 15. Let's read, y'all. And his disciples asked him, saying, parable be. And he said, unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which, when they heard, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fell away. And that which fall away, thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked, and with cares and riches of and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Last verse, 15. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bringing forth fruit and patience. Let's get some definitions. And I want to give a definition of seed. Seed is that substance, that animal, that vegetable, which by nature prepares for reproduction and conservation of a species. So the seed, in terms of the Old Testament, has three forms. It has a physical form, so bird seed, mustard seed. It also has a physical form, which that means the production or the birth of human beings. And it has a spiritual seed, which is the word of God, the gospel, and the Bible. So when we look at the Bible, you have about over 250 verses that talk directly about seed in the Bible. And certainly there are many, because seed, planting seed, is very important. It gives, when you plant seed, you're looking for a harvest. And essentially, that is important to the design that God has made us as creations. We are to show forth God's likeness, and it is essential for us to produce those that our seed that God plants in us should produce and should make offspring of those others that don't know the Lord. So when we're looking at the definition of planting, it means to place. Now, it is interesting that you have to place that seed, that or that substance in something. for buds, for it to grow. Normally a seed is placed in the ground, and now it's harvest time, so it's October, so that's why we're talking about the harvest, because now is the time where you pick up or you begin to gather those seeds that you planted that have enriched themselves and have grown to full maturity, where you can pull them up, where you can not pull them up, where you can harvest those seeds. In essence, those seeds have been placed in the ground and have produced something. They have produced their likeness. Okay? They have grown. So let us see, and I'm going to give you some examples of some seed in the Bible. You have natural grass seed. You have natural fruit seed. You have the seed of man, or, you know, the sperm, pray the Lord. You have the seed of a woman, which is her children. The seed of a man and a woman, their offsprings. You have the word of God. You have the seed of your mouth, your words. You have the body of Christ. You have the church, and your body. So in Genesis 1 and 11, God says, let earth bring forth grass yielding seed. This is the first mention of seed and the first mention of reproductive systems for propagating for the existence of future plants in the world. Within the same verse, God also tells us the earth bringing forth fruit trees yielding fruit after its kind, which is seed in itself. So it is especially important because it is considered the law of Genesis. So in essence, what it's saying is that everything will produce after its own kind. In other words, a cat does not produce from a dog, but a dog produces from a dog. And a watermelon does not produce from an orange, but an orange produces from itself. So in essence, everything that God created comes from and reproduces or replicates itself after its own kind. Mm-hmm. So when you sow a seed into the ground, there is a reward. If you sow grass seed, then that is, your expectation is reaping grass. So there is an essence, a cause and effect. I plant a seed, and because I plant a seed, there should be a harvest that seed produces. And that seed will give harvest to whatever type of seed that it may be. So in essence, the Bible says, whatsoever you sow, you shall reap. So if you sow into good and fertilized soil, then you should reap the benefits. But if you sow into soil that is hard, that has not been fertilized, that is rough, then you should not expect a good harvest. So what does the Bible say about planting? We go over to Genesis 8 and 22. It reads, while the earth yields remnants, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So in essence, there have been seeds being planted. We are in the fall season, which seeds have been planted, which will produce winter. Mm-hmm. Now, Acts 1 and 8. But ye will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come unto you, and ye will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, that is a plan. When you do the work of the Lord, when you stand and allow the Lord to work through you, when you stand still and allow the salvation of God to move. You know, we could just stand and show our light and just speak, or have on a T-shirt that represents Christ Jesus, and that will be a seed that's being planted. But we also know, and I also want to note, that in planting seeds, God provides the harvest. So 2 Corinthians 4 and 4 reads, in this case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. So let's talk about the parable, shall we? The parable of the sower was told to the crowd that had gathered around Jesus. Jesus tells the story of the sower who scattered seeds on four different types of soil. The first type of ground was hard. The seed could not sprout or grow at all and became snatched up instantly. Don't let the Satan snatch you up. The second type of seed was stony. The seed was able to plant and began to grow. However, it could not grow deep roots, and it withered in the sun. The third type of ground was thorny, and although the seed could grow, was planted and grow, it could not compete with the number of thorns that overtook it. The fourth ground was good soil that allowed the seed to be planted deep and grow strong and produce fruits. Now, Jesus used this parable to explain to his followers and the disciples how there are different responses to saving or hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The sower in this parable is Jesus, and the seed is the word of God, both Jesus spoken and written and in today's Bible. The hard ground represents someone who had a hardened heart full of sin that hears the word of God but does not accept it. Satan is able to keep this person from growing at all. The stony ground is someone who shows interest and awareness in the gospel, yet his heart isn't fully convicted, so that when troubles come to his faith and to him, his faith is not strong enough to stand. We've got to be able to stand. We've got to be able to allow this word to permeate in our heart, because Satan is coming to get us off our balance, to take us off our throne, to get us where we just fall, to get us where our harvest or our seed is not producing. And when the world looks at us, they should see a difference. They should see us strong. They should see us as planted, as a tree planted, where our roots are planted deep down in the ground, where when the wind blows, when society hits us, we're able to be fortified in Christ Jesus. So they don't have enough faith to stand. We've got to stand in this evil day. As the winter is coming, we've got to fortify ourselves and make sure that that seed that we have planted produces a harvest. Stony ground is a person who receives the gospel, but who has many other idols and distractions in life, worries, riches, lust, which take over his mind and heart, and he cannot grow in the truth of God's word. The good soil is someone who has heard and received the word of God and allows it to take root and grow into his life. This person represents the true salvation and bears fruit. So in essence, we see now that we're living in a time, we're living in a generation, we're living in a world that has taking the truth and turning it upside down. Mm-hmm. There's so much that's going on in this life, in this world. There's so many things that is happening. And if you don't know the word of God yourself, you will not produce an adequate harvest, because Satan will come and take your seed and it will be eaten up by the cares of this world, by Satan's spewing of lies. And he is giving out lies. He's telling the world lies. He's telling the world that it's okay. And certainly when we look at politics, when we look at the world around us, and I want to say this, pray for those leaders. Pray for our governors. Pray for our president. Pray for the mayors of your city. Pray for them, because they're only men. And certainly God has given us the authority and the power by the word. And certainly we have the Spirit of God that's living on the inside of us. And if we yield ourselves to God, God will show up and he will give us understanding. He will give us wisdom. He will give us a formula to move forward in this current society. Mm-hmm. Why was the parable of the sower important? In his ministry, Jesus spoke in parables. When the crowds gathered, he spoke to them. So in essence, the parables would give illustration of teaching, to give illustration of Jesus' point, to make them understand. It was a teaching point, in essence. It was a teaching point in order for people to understand, for that generation or that time, to understand the word of God in plain and simple terms. So he gave an example of four types of soil, in which the last one is the seed that's been given to correct and popular soil. Mm-hmm. So in essence, we are falling on good ground. Mm-hmm. And those of us that have fallen on good ground, we are to plant our seeds in expectation of a harvest. Now, what seed, whatever seed you have, either is putting a seed in your children to say, now the Lord, if you believe on God, if you believe on Christ Jesus and allow him to guide and lead your life, then the expectations are that that seed will produce children that are God-fearing. The Bible says, train up your child in the way that they should go, for when they get old, they won't depart, because the word, the seed, has been planted in them. Certainly, when we look at the four gospels, each of the four gospels gives an illustration of this teaching point that God, or that Jesus, was trying to convey. Mm-hmm. So we know that, in essence, that if we look at scripture, we know that Jesus was interpreting the scriptures to explain the parable of the sower. And we see that the sower was Jesus Christ. We see that the seed was the gospel of the kingdom, or the word of God. And we can also look at the interpretation of the bird to be that evil one, and the soil to be the ground, those people that are represented by the word of God, by the kingdom, or who presented with the kingdom of God. So in essence, when we look at the world, when we look at our seed, you know, it's planting time. It's have your seed produced and harvest, and that's what we've been talking about this whole month. Have my seed, have I planted into fertile ground? Am I producing like kind? Am I producing people that represent the gospel? Am I producing people that are God-fearing? And that does not necessarily mean your children. Am I producing people that can grab hold of faith? Am I producing people that understand that you, Dr. Carey, can I get you to pray for me? Because I know if you pray for me, things will be well. Am I producing people that understand that I have a relationship with Christ Jesus? Am I producing people that understand that if the storm comes, God will see you through if you have a relationship with Christ Jesus? Am I planning on fertile ground? Am I planting on ground that will nurture the seed that I'm planting? So when we look at Genesis, or not Genesis, but Galatians, thank you, Lord, 6, 7, and 8, it reads, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." So in essence, we understand that this is not our home, but we have a home on the other side. We are looking and we're striving to produce. We're striving to represent Christ Jesus. No, have we arrived yet? No, we haven't. We're still struggling with everyday issues. There's still challenges. We're still living in a time where this world is not saved, never will be saved, because Satan is living among us, and he is the prince of this world. But God is still in control. So because God is still in control and he is using us as his representatives, as his ambassadors, we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. And therefore, when we speak, when we declare, the Bible says that I can bind and loose. I can bind whatsoever on earth and it will be bound in heaven, and I can loose the same thing. So in essence, I can loose stuff here on earth and it be loose in heaven. There is a spiritual aspect of us. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, and we recognize that God is a spirit, and because God is a spirit, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And because we worship him, because he has given us the power in that of the comforter, Christ came, he died on the cross, and he sent back his comforter, and that of the Holy Spirit, Christ in the form of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We have strength. We have the power arm of God to set in motion and allow that seed, to plant that seed. And that spirit, the spirit of God will guide and lead us and show us into all truth. It will tell us what to do and what not to do. Hallelujah. So in essence, we reap and we sow, and we go, and we understand that this is, although we live in the flesh, we're not fighting a fleshly war. We talked about the battle in previous blogs. And certainly if you go to Ephesians 6, you read it, you understand clearly what I'm talking about. We don't fight flesh to flesh, blood to blood. We fight against spiritual principalities in high places. That's why the Lord says put on the whole armor that we stand. And then it tells us to pray without ceasing. Pray morning, noon, and evening. Pray in our cars. Pray out of our cars. Well, it's praying time. It's harvest time, and it's praying time. Oh, it's time to pray like never before. It's time to plant those seeds if you haven't planted them. Hallelujah. If you're planting them, it's time for the harvest. It's time to reap those things that you've planted, to see the production of godliness, to see the production of spiritual traits and abilities, to see God moving in those that we have planted those seeds. Now God and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit leads us to plant what seed where, or whether it's financial seed, whether it's a physical seed, or you know the seed that God is calling you to plant. In essence, God calls you to plant it, but he is the sower. He is the person that reaps or grows and manifests it. Or we just have to pray and guard that seed. Because there are distractions that Satan will come and bring to us. The distraction of saying this is, you know, this COVID virus, don't go out your house, be fearful of it. But the Bible says, don't be afraid. We do not walk in the spirit of fear. We understand and we follow the mandates of this world because we follow government regulations. Mm-hmm. So that means if the speed limit is 55, we should not be going 65. I'm sorry. But 55 is a government regulation. I know we go over and I ain't going to say it, but that's correct. But that still is a government regulation. And we know the laws may say, well, we will give you so much. So if the speed limit is 55, they may give you 60. Okay, it's 55, but we allow you to go 60. But we know if you go 10 miles over that speed limit and the police see you, they're giving you a ticket because it's a government violation. We are to obey those that have rule over us, those governmental rules. Now, some challenges are if those governmental rules violate the principles of our beliefs. That's when and only when we can challenge those governmental rules. But in essence, if the speed limit or if the red light means stop, then we stop. We stop at a stop sign because we understand there are traffic laws. Mm-hmm. So we understand that there are laws that mandate what we should do. We understand, and the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. And again, there's a governmental law that says, thou shalt not steal. So in essence, we follow those rules because they're governmental. And there's some that are spiritual rules that we follow because that's inherited in us for us to do so. Because we are called to be righteous, we are called to be holy, and because we are called to be those things, we follow the mandate that God has given us. So with this in essence, we want to say this, and we're going to pray. Planning, and we're striving to live, and we're striving to produce, and we're striving to plant seeds that will reproduce of our kind. God has planted in us. Jesus Christ has planted himself in us. And because he's planted himself in us, we are to reproduce his kind. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to come before your presence. We thank you for each and every believer, Father God, that's on the radio this morning that have set aside this time to come and to be with us. We pray for every need. We pray for harvest time. We pray, God, that their seed, that they may represent you, that they may represent you, God, like never before. Because we're living in a time, Father God, that we need you. We need your strength. We need your spirit. We need your guidance, and we need to make sure, hallelujah, that we are producing and we are planting your seeds of your kind that will produce a harvest that you will be pleased with us in. And Father God, if there's any sick among us that's sick, I pray for them right now. I pray for healing. I pray for deliverance. I pray, God, that you'll bring them closer to you. If they lack faith, Father God, I pray that you'll strengthen their faith. Oh, Father God, if there's a financial need, I pray for that financial need right now. I pray for them, Father God. I pray their strength. I pray, God, that you guide and lead them. Holy Spirit, touch, God. You know what their needs are. God, even if it's financial job, there's some that need a job, and we pray, God, that you'll open up the doors, interviews, God. Jobs will fall in their laps because their ways please you. Oh, Father God, because their ways please you, you will give us the desires of your heart. So I'm speaking it. I'm speaking it as we touch and agree, as they're connected with Amazing Grace Ministries, as they have connected with me, God, spiritually, I connect with them. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll go in their homes, God, and move whatever obstacle of distraction out of their way. I pray, God, that you will illuminate them. I pray, God, that you'll speak nothing in their ear, God, that you will speak sweet things, nuptials in their ears, God, that they will hear you, plans, God, and purpose, God. Oh, that you will give them understanding. I pray even, God, that you will elevate their senses, God, that they may see, hear you, God, more clearly. Speak to their heart, Holy Spirit. Give them instructions, God. You know their needs. And we speak those things that is not as though they are. And we declare your salvation. We declare your wisdom. We declare your bountiful blessings. This is a decree that we are asking, that we're declaring in Jesus' name. Oh, and if there's anyone out there that may hear this blog and not saved, we pray that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and repent of your sins by just saying, I repent of my sins and I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now you've saved. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, we thank you, God. We thank you for the word that has been given. I thank each and every one of you that have partnered with us to be online on this morning. I pray that something has been said, a word has been delivered that has blessed your soul, and that you can take through the week and be encouraged and know that God is working with you, and your seeds that you plant shall bring forth and harvest. We thank God, and we certainly ask a blessing on Evangelist Terry Rogers, God, wherever she may be right now. I pray strength. I pray, God, that you guide and lead us, leader, God. You know what she have need of, and we speak to that need. In Jesus' name we pray, God. Touch her and continue to strengthen her body, God. You see her, God. Bless her financially and bless her on her job as she go in and out. Oh, we speak healing, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Again, saints of the Most High God, I will see you on next week. You be encouraged. You are blessed. You are highly favored with the Lord, and God is blessing you right now. I see you next week. Bye-bye.